Hey everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie, I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening to me live, it is the 4th of March already at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I still want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that you can find me over in the chat room by heading over to 12radio.com, click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. If you would like to watch this via live stream versus listening to it, you can do that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook. Look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic, and you'll find the live streams over there. Send in a quick message to Scott because I had something I wanted to show you and I forgot. And left it on the kitchen table. I do want to welcome you all, though, and I hope that you're having a good day so far and a good week so far. I do want to let you know that we're going to have a healing circle today around the second half of the show, so be prepared for that. I should try to give you a heads up if we're going to do meditative work so that you can be where you need to be to participate if that's something you want to do. And as always, you can go back to these recordings later and do them as well. So you have all of those options. It's wild here. We're mostly warm and melty. And then today it's kind of cold and snowy, but supposed to warm up and get melty some more. So we'll see. But it kind of looks to me like we just might be on the tail end of spring or of winter. But I mean, it's March. We should be, but you never know around here. We can have snow in May sometimes, June even. So we'll see. Saw some pictures and video coming out of Yellowstone that the red dogs are already being born. The red dogs are the baby bison. They're so precious. So that warmed my heart and made me super excited. There's a part of me that thinks we probably won't go to Yellowstone at all this year because of all the cuts to the parks and what kind of chaos might be reigning up there. But then I think maybe really the option is to go really early in the season before they get too inundated with people, because the people will still come regardless of their ability to deal with that many people. I shudder to think what things might look like later on this year. So I don't know. But you know, Yellowstone is one of the coolest places on earth to me, as well as Grand Teton National Forest. So we'll see. Had an opportunity to go to Driggs last weekend last weekend and drive up to the Tetons and get to see them with all their snow-capped glory, and wow, looking amazing, what can I say? But I actually have some show and tells, so I might have, you know, my new one if Scott ever brings it into me, but we'll see. But I have a bunch of pictures of things. Been really hitting the glass room. I finally feel better. I finally feel like I've got a handle on myself again. That was a 3-week endeavor from having the flu. My gosh. But I'm still coughing a little bit, but nothing like I was. It's certainly bearable and tolerable now. But my energy levels have just been so flat. But finally, over the weekend, I finally went, my gosh, I feel like I'm finally waking up, getting back to myself. So I wanted to share with you a couple of things. This is a project I actually cut out before I got the flu and then never finished it. So I did the grinding and cutting work on it and turned it over to Scott and he did the solder. But I love it. It's really pretty. All that iridescent glass really shines in the sunlight. It's just loving it. I have my first show coming up the end of March. So trying to get a few pieces together for that. And then all these little keys. Somebody had sent me these that they found online that other people were making and thought they were cool, and I agreed. So I built a pattern and started making a few. And they are so damn cute. So they could be the flying keys from Harry Potter, or they could just be dragonfly keys, or anything else you wanted them to be. And I will say that with glass, frequently I feel like the pictures just don't do the work justice. for how you can see them like sparkling in the sunlight and stuff like that. But anyway, really loved the way these turned out. I had a blast making these. Liked it so much that we went out yesterday and found some keys that are quite a bit larger so that we can make some that have like butterfly wings or double wings and stuff like that. But isn't that fun? I love it. Love, love, love it. So that's some of it. I made a really cool prism sun catcher yesterday in stained glass, though, and I'm hoping Scott sees my note and brings it in here. But if not, I'll show it to you next week. But that's what I am working on. I love the flying keys a ton. I've been trying to think about how I could build multiple ones into some kind of a wind chime type effect. So we'll see. I really like them just individually too. I think those would be really cute hung, in your plants or anywhere else you want to put a little charm. I think they're great. Yeah, pretty fun. And I did put pictures of those in the chat room too, in case anybody over in the chat wanted to see them. But that's pretty much what I've been working on. I have new cuts on, well, all my fingers. So that's how it goes. I don't know if other people just are, more coordinated and don't cut themselves up as much, or if they actually just do a better job. But for me, I get cut all the time. Right. Some people can hang those from their rearview mirror. Some people can't. Depends on where you live, if that's illegal or not. But people in Idaho always have stuff hanging from their rearview mirror. That's pretty common here. But I know in other places, that's like a ticketable offense. So, yeah. Oh, thank you. Sid said your stained glass work looks like you've had years of experience, and iridescence is my favorite glass. Oh, me too. In fact, we went to the store yesterday and bought several new pieces of glass with really nothing in mind to make out of them except for that I loved them. I'm more of a buy cool glass and then make a plan to of what to make out of it versus find something I want to make and then go buy glass that suits it. Also, I already have a lot of glass and don't really need to buy any probably, except for ooh, there's some beautiful glass out there. Really beautiful. I'm lucky I don't live in a place that has like a lot of glass stores, or I'd probably be in even more trouble. Yep. All righty. Well, I did share Luminous. Luminous went out. I woke up this morning in chaos. The site that I typically use, or that I do use to build Luminous and the Daily Dish every day, was having a problem processing my card, which seemed to be on their end, but I couldn't send out the Daily Dish. I couldn't work on Luminous. I couldn't do anything. And then, in the midst of all of that, the site that I mail it from, for my email it from, called Constant Contact, was completely down. So I'm like, am I doing Luminous today? Am I ever going to be able to send out the Daily Dish? Well, I was able to get the card thing resolved with Marquee. And then I was finally able to get Constant Contact to start loading. They were just down for probably an hour. But yeah, all roadblocks firmly up. But I really had to just keep pushing past it until I figured out, till things worked out. But at any rate, Luminous did finally publish, and the topic this week of Luminous is collective energy. Was thinking a lot about how collective energy drives us in lots of different ways and how we can harness collective energy for good. And of course, one of those ways is by doing a healing circle. So we are going to have a healing circle today. I know that a lot of you have significant struggles in your lives right now, from lots of different avenues. I know that because I talk to you guys all day. That's my job, right? And What I'm seeing right now is a lot of concern from a lot of you. Things in your lives are unsteady, unsure. Some of you have experienced job loss and loss of people in your world and health catastrophes and other issues that are coming up that are shaking your foundations. And so, because of that, I wanted to do a healing circle today for you to all enter yourselves into the healing circle and also any of your other worries and cares. But I have a strong belief in collective energy. And it probably really comes from my Mormon roots because, like lots of other churches, there's a strong belief in prayer. There's, and as you know, I left the Mormon church a long time ago. But my basis of belief in collective energy probably comes from life experience, right? And I always think about that, like in the scope of how religions seems to me that they get some things right and they get some things wrong and lots of things in between. Or a lot of religions, I think, have just different ideas about how to get to the same place, right? To me, it's important that we find ways to harness that energy. One thing that they do in the Mormon Church is that they do fasting and prayer. So, say somebody in your family is like going to have a surgery or is going through some kind of a health crisis or something terrible is happening, you might call for a fasting, meaning that everyone abstains from eating for a meal or two and uses that time to kind of collectively pray for someone. They also have spots in their temples where people can write down the names of people that need some extra help, and those go into basically a prayer box where people pray specifically for those people. That's just one church, that's just one practice. But a lot of people believe in the power of prayer. A lot of people believe in the power of healing circles or of meditation or of other collective work, right? When basketball teams take the court and they have a huge fan base surrounding them all the way around on that court, and they are deafeningly loud and they're cheering that team on, that team has a much greater chance of winning. You look at any team who has a strong fan base, and they rarely lose at home. They might lose on the road more, but they rarely lose at home. Why? Because that collective energy is contagious. It is powerful stuff. So if you can churn up a frenzy around people that believe in you, that can mirror back to you the energy that you're giving to them, you can move mountains with that energy. For better or for worse, that is a collective energy. But let's talk about it. I called the magazine this week The Power of Us because we're in a vital time right now to work for the collective good and to harness the collectiveness, the collective good for our world. So we have to remember how powerful we are as a group and when we work together. Some examples. I wrote an article about the history and power of collective energy. So, I had mentioned, being in a packed stadium, a concert, or even a meditation circle, right? That you feel that sense of connection, you feel that energy moving, right? It's powerful stuff. It's one of the reasons that I'm so interested in the energy of sports. I've talked about this a million times. Excuse me. But the energy of athletics is fascinating to me in that sense of collective oneness, when we all work for a collective goal. Just like when you see a team that has a toxic player or two that don't pass the ball, that don't care if other people succeed, that only care about how well they are doing. Those teams are much less likely to be successful. It's why sometimes teams cut great players, because they're toxic to the team. Not all great players, obviously, are toxic to a team. That's the opposite of what we want. But occasionally you'll find somebody on a team that's there for all the wrong reasons, that is not a team player, that doesn't give a damn if everyone else on the team succeeds. It's all about them. And sometimes you'll see coaches with some backbone and wisdom that choose to cut them because they don't want that kind of energy there. That you can't be good enough to negate the energy of competition and ugliness that you might bring to a team. It's interesting. At any rate. So, looking at the roots of collective energy. In ancient civilizations, indigenous tribes, including Native Americans, Aborigines, and African cultures, they performed group rituals, think of the haka, dances and ceremonies to harness communal energy for healing, rain, harvest, and war preparation. That's something that is well known in our history. As well as thinking of the pagan rituals that happened once upon a time, bringing, similar outcomes or similar goals. Religious gatherings, of course, from Buddhist meditation circles to Christian revivals, prayer circles, prayer chains. There have been many amazing outcomes from these kinds of work. Why? Because this kind of collective energy is incredibly powerful. When we share our energy with each other and we share our magic with each other, we are incredibly powerful. Much, much more than we realize. Social movements. Social movements where people are one-minded, single-minded, have a similar goal that feels gratifying, can really, really shift history. Civil rights, women's suffrage, even modern day protests. They can be dangerous, right? They can be dangerous in a good way, hopefully. But when you have lots of people come together to push energy, big things can happen. The science of collective energy. There is some science behind it. It's not all just blind faith. The Maharishi effect. In the 70s, they did some studies where they found that when people meditated together, crime rates in surrounded areas dropped. Yeah. Just by gathering groups of people to meditate together, we're not talking about yogis, we're not talking about monks, we're not talking about people that have trained for a million years in meditation, right? We're just talking about people. People gathering together, meditating for the collective good. Period. That's all. And that when people do that, big things happen. So, were these people holding space for peace in their community? I'm going to assume they were. And they received more peace in their community. Amazing. I always think about Deborah King in this aspect. Deborah King, she's a Hay House author, she considers herself to be a shaman. It's kind of a problematic term, but it whatever. But she before she was doing that work, she's actually a doctor, but no, she's not. She's an attorney by trade, but she left that life to walk a more spiritual path. And I was at a conference once where she was speaking, and she was talking about how her first job, she worked in a hospital in New York that was like a spiritualist hospital. And her whole job in that hospital was to sit with people and do a form of energy work where basically she was just reflecting back to them being healed and whole and living their lives. And they had multiple people just doing that all day, every day, just sitting with patients and holding space for them being healed and whole and coming together in groups. And reflecting that energy back to people and helping them to heal and to see the potential of their healing. And I just think that's fascinating and amazing stuff. Resonance and synchronization. Neuroscience suggests that when people come together, their heartbeats, brainwaves, and even emotions can sync up. Yeah, we've all experienced it, right? You know, you have been at some kind of an event, a concert, a sporting event, or of course, a healing circle with me, or a group meditation, or a drum circle, even a yoga class where the energy feels so powerful and you are literally aligning with the people around you. It's a sacred, sacred feeling. Or it's a adrenaline rush. If, let's say, you're in a packed stadium of people, or it can be a real downer if you're in a place where something really negative is happening, or a place where people are grieving heavily. Empaths, especially, are affected by this energy, but actually, everyone is affected by this energy. Quantum physics. Some theories suggest that everything is energy and interconnected. We've heard that lots of times, meaning our collective focus and emotions could influence reality itself. And we know this to be true. We've seen this happen many, many times. Pamela, it's my opinion that we do have a lot of power and that we, nobody wants us to believe that or understand that about ourselves. By nobody, I mean the powers that be. The government doesn't want you to know how powerful you are because they want to control you. The churches don't want you to know how powerful you are because they want to control you. The collective commerce doesn't want to affect the way you've, or doesn't want you to realize how powerful you are because they want to control you through your money. We're barbaric. We want to control other people. We want to be able to dominate over other people. Maybe we not being you, but we as a society, we certainly do. We want to control other people's money. We want to control other people's values, other people's minds. We do. And if we really understood how powerful we were and capable we are of making change, we would really be a hitch in the side of people who want to control us and the outcomes of what we do. Period. Okay, how to harness collective energy in your life? Be intentional with group energy, meaning surround yourself with people who uplift you and inspire you. The energy you immerse yourself in matters. It matters a lot. Join or create gatherings. You ever been in a group club, a book club of people who were on the same wavelength? It doesn't mean everyone has to agree on everything, but we're all involved in this book. We're all involved in our opinions about it, in our energy about it, or another kind of class or study group that really clicks. They don't all, right? They don't all. It's a special thing when you come across a group like this that really fires on all cylinders. A meditation circle, a mastermind group, activism efforts, a lot of other things that might feel to you like the kind of community where you want your energy to reside. Participate in global energy movements. World Meditation Day, climate marches, collective online intentions, that happens all the time, like prayer chains or gratitude movements that prove we can shift the world's energy together. Kind of a cool thing about the internet and social media can always be a mixed bag in lots of ways, as we know, but one really cool thing has been drawing people together for collective work like this. You don't have to have a local group in front of you. You don't even have to leave your house. You can very comfortably work in the space and the safety of your own home with people across the globe working for a common goal. And to me, that's magic. That's a miracle. Practice gratitude and generosity because energy is contagious. Spreading positivity and appreciation raises the frequency of those around you, creating a ripple effect. I've said many, many times, when you throw your pebbles, your happy pebbles, into the collective pond, you help to raise the energy of those around you, as well as when you throw your gratitude energy, or you throw your peace. When that's what you're throwing into the collective pond, you are a part of the solution. You're not always going to be part of the solution. New Age thought, I think, sometimes has discouraged people from using their voices in contrary ways. And the truth is, we have to be contrary sometimes. You have to stand up for what you believe. You have to be able to stand up for the people that you believe in. So, are you always going to be the most positive one on the block? Probably not. Are you going to make people mad along the way? Yeah, you might. You might. That's not always wrong. Keeping the peace is a great goal when it's important in some aspects, but refusing to ever use your voice for the good of yourself or others, it doesn't, it, that's also not helpful. You still have every right and reason to speak up about and stand up for things that you believe in. Kelly's article this month is still on Black History Month, talking about the AIDS activist Prudence Mabel. Really, really powerful story. You can listen to her episode here if you just click on the purple hyperlink. And then, of course, you can read her article here. So, as always, Kelly, thank you for all the work that you do. My tip this week are some affirmations to move through fear. I am growing in confidence each and every day. My goals are stronger than my doubts. I am strong, independent, and courageous. All good ones to repeat to yourself if fear is an unfortunate theme in your life. Christy's energy exercise this week is her Shakti manifesting. If manifesting is where you need to be right now, this is a really good one for you. Lots of true crime over at True Crime Squad. And lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. Excuse me. I'm going to guide a healing circle today. I hope I don't cough all the way through it. Okay, I won't. I just will not. All right, so that's luminous. I opted for ice water and probably should have opted for tea. So we're going to do a healing circle. I want to give you a minute to just think about what you want to be included in that circle. I'll give you time during the circle itself to add anything to it that you'd like to, of course, but this is a good opportunity to think about it. Do you want to work towards the collective energy? You want to help support other people and what they are experiencing? Do you need to put yourself in the circle? Please do. Please put yourself in the circle. You deserve healing as much as anybody else does. You deserve peace and you deserve happiness as much as anybody else does. So please provide yourself that. Please put yourself in the circle. You deserve that. And also, it's hard to be around to help other people if you're not taking care of yourself. Right? So please add yourself. In a healing circle, you can ask for healing for anything and anyone. So you decide that And when we get in the circle, I'll give you an opportunity to add those things. But I want you to think about that right now so that you know in the moment. Who do you want to put in there? It's one thing to be like, I just want to put the whole planet in there. You want to do it that way? Fine. I don't care. I'm not mocking you. That's fine. But being more specific helps us as a collective to put more energy specifically on the things that matter to you or that are really in your heart. So you can do it both ways, but being more specific, in my opinion, is more effective. But then again, what do I know? Why do we have to have rules? We really don't. Okay, I'm going to start my music. I want you guys to just give me an idea if you wouldn't mind, if it's too loud. How does that balance with that seems too loud for my voice. Let's go down a little bit. Okay, how about right here? If I keep our meditation music right here, will that work? I'm hoping that'll be just about right. Okay. Okay, good. Renee says yes, that's just fine. Perfect. Okay. So, get started. So, I'm going to ask you to get comfortable. Close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths here to get grounded and centered. Now, I would like you to picture yourself walking along a path in a forest. It's a warm day, but not hot. There's a gentle breeze blowing. The sun is shining overhead. The sky is blue. There are a few clouds floating by. And you are in a space of beauty and peace. You're walking along a path. In just a moment, I'm going to count. I'm going to count backwards from 10 to 1. As I do so, you will be walking along this path, getting deeper and deeper into your consciousness with every step you take, walking towards a clearing. When you reach that clearing, you'll walk out into a meadow where you'll find many of us gathering. This is our space, our sacred space for healing work, for collective healing, and for gathering. Starting now with 10, walking forward, getting closer and closer to the clearing the further you go. 9. Eight, seven, you can feel pine needles crunching under your feet. You can smell the trees, the moss, the earth. You feel peace. 6, 5. Halfway there now, feeling comfortable and confident about your ability to reach this space. 4. Much closer now, you can see the opening in the trees, in the clearing up ahead. 2. Almost there. 1. Step out into the meadow now. You'll see others stepping off of their own paths, and you'll see others in the center of the space gathering. Go there now. Joining along with many of us, gathering here, creating a sacred space for healing and collective work. Take each other by the hand now, gathering in a large circle. Each one of us knowing that we've come here to ask for and to offer healing for ourselves and others, for the betterment of our world. Trusting and believing in the ability of all of us to bring our collective energy, our individual energy, to feed the collective, to move mountains, to create miracles. To bring love and healing. At this time, I would like you to think or speak into the circle the things that you have come here today to ask for: healing, support, empowerment. Please put yourself in the circle, as well as anyone or anything else that's tugging at your heart today. Please do that now. Good. Now our circle is set. Our intentions are clear. Now is when the work begins. How you work is your choice. If you practice an energy healing modality, you may do that now. Some of you may pray or chant or speak, or simply send love from your heart, holding the highest and best intentions for all involved. The choice is yours. Begin now. Thank you. Just another few minutes now. A few moments to wrap up what you're doing. Good. Go ahead and let go of hands now, breaking the circle. Big work, important work was done here today. But this is your space. Feel free to come back here anytime that you choose, either by accessing file to this meditation or recreating it on your own. But this space is yours to come to seek out healing and help. In just a few moments, I'm going to be counting forward from 1 to 5. As I do so, I'll be asking you to walk back through the forest from whence you came. When I start with 1, you'll still be very deep in your spirit, as you are now. As I count and you walk, you'll be getting lighter and lighter until I reach 5, where you'll find yourself wide awake and refreshed and ready to carry on with your day. You'll remember this healing circle, you'll remember the work that happened here, and you'll benefit from it moving forward. So say your goodbyes now and walk back to your chair, your path, entering back into the forest, starting with 1, walking back down the path, still very deep in your spirit. Getting lighter, feeling peaceful and supported. 3, much, much lighter now. 4, almost there. And 5, wide awake and refreshed. Ready to carry on with your day. Big stretch. Return to your body. Move yourself. Stretch. This would be a good time to take a drink of something. Support yourself. Very good. Okay. So as always with work like this, you can always go back and work on it later. You can always go back and listen to it again. Easy enough. You can go back and listen to it as many times as you want. All right. Good work. Okay. Yes, Lillianne, unfortunately, came right in the middle of the healing circle. I'm sorry, dang it. But yes, definitely go back to it. You certainly can. Okay. So, that's collective work. That's collective healing. We've done this together before, and we'll do it again. In fact, I just was feeling today like I've been kind of remiss in healing circles. We need to do them more often, obviously. Oh, weird. Jane said on her end, when I put on the music, my volume got super low. She had to grab headphones. Huh, that is odd. Some of the sound stuff, a little tough to work through. Also, my lighting is screwed up. I apologize for that. My ring light got turned up way too high, so I'm noticing that my face looks pretty weird and washed out unless I back way up. But it's fine, it's what it is. Sid said, your healing voice is so powerful that even without sitting with closed eyes has a calming effect. My honor. Right. I'm really not pale. It's just my ring light is washing me out. Yeah. I had a little battle with Scott over lighting. He has certain lights he always leaves on, and I've started turning them off because I don't know about you guys, but our power bill has gone through the roof the last 6 months, and there's no reason for it. So I've started getting to be a little bit more of a Nazi about turning off the lights, and so he turned off my ring light in retaliation in the light war that's happening here. My ring light never gets turned off because it's hard to get it at exactly the right setting so that I don't look too washed out. And yeah, so when I turned it back on today, I think I turned it up way too much. So that's all. Yes. Just power wars. When you just have the one roommate, you know, sometimes the battles commence. However, this is you know, it's all lighthearted, but I don't think he realized that messing with my ring light is a technical foul, and this is why. But and I didn't realize it till the show started, and I went, oh, like I'm way too high and probably on blue light and should be on the warm light, and well, whatever. Anyway, I'll work it out. But that's how it goes. It's definitely a control thing with utilities. And I don't know, I'm curious to know with you guys, because I'm talking to clients on the East Coast who are saying the same thing, that their power bill's gone up a lot this year. Boy, ours has, like, immensely. And it's not like we haven't even had that cold of a winter. It's not like we're, you know, well sub zero every day and we're pumping the heat. I mean, of course we're running our power, or, you know, our heat. It's winter, but it's not like we've been like especially cold or crazy on the heat. But here we are. So, yeah, Lillian said they've been higher in Florida too. Yeah. Ugh. Boo. I have long wondered about solar panels, if they're worth it, you know, if it helps that much. My consensus on my property has been it's probably not worth it because I have so many trees that I wonder if solar panels would struggle. I mean, we're pretty much only gardening via greenhouse anymore because our trees have gotten so big that most of our property is shaded. And that's fine, not complaining. It helps summer be a lot more tenable for me. But I think that solar panels might be off for me, right? I'm gonna move anyway. True, good point. That's still in my pocket. I still want to move. How? I have no idea. Where? I'm not trying to go like out of my area. I'm just tired of my house. But I mean, I've lived here for 25 years. That's long enough, right? Yeah. Oh, Jane said, and wind affects solar panels too. Good point. Yeah. Pamela said higher where she's at too. Yeah. Anyway, boo. But it's what it is, I guess. Well, I've got a few more minutes. If anybody would like a reading, this would be a great time to do it. We've got, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes here before I need to start wrapping up. So I don't have room for a lot, but if somebody has a pressing need, I would definitely get into that. Have Scott make a windmill. He has been trying to do that. He's thought about that for years, actually. Yeah. Lillian would love a reading. Let's pull a few cards for you. Jane, you'll be in your apartment 20 years on March 15th. Wow. a long time. I know, I can't believe it either. I'm amazed looking at my house that I've been here for 25 years. Because we moved in here when Micah was 6 weeks old. So it's been about like exactly 25 years since I moved into this house. And this house has served my needs beautifully in many, many ways. I don't have a lot of complaints about it, except for that we've outgrown it, which is weird to say that now we're empty nesters, now I need a bigger house. I don't necessarily need a bigger house, I need a different house. I want bigger, better gathering spaces so that when my family comes here, we have room for them. I want a better sleeping arrangement for my kids when they come home and visit because we don't have a great one now. And I need a bigger studio because I have really outgrown my glass studio. I don't have a great setup to have all the centers that I would like to have so that I can just move from space to space and do glass, as well as other things that I do and some things that are just like permanently put away because there's nowhere to put them. And Scott needs a shop terribly. So those are my thoughts. Those are the things on my wish list. I know it's not much, right? And obviously, good spaces for pigs and dogs, but yeah, a bigger space would change a lot for me. I need it. I want it. By God, I deserve it. All right, Liliana, I'm pulling a few cards for you. This probably will be the only one we get to today. So I was just asking what you need to know right now and what we could be working on moving forward here in the next little while. So the main card is Trapped in Fear. While I know that you actually are a baddie that is fearless as hell, this is an uncertain time. And I feel like there are certainly worries afoot and worries for everybody about their safety and security in certain ways. And that definitely shakes up the root chakra. So I know that you have been doing some work in a community garden, I think, or an outdoor space where you've been spending time. And I think that's really important for you right now because it gives you an opportunity to be outside where you're able to be more grounded and to be around other people. I think there's a big reminder here to surround yourself in beauty and to surround yourself in things that you love and that are important to you. The second card is the Conflict and Defeat card, which tells me again that moving forward here in the, we're kind of through the first quarter, so moving into the second quarter of the year, struggling a little bit with feeling conflicted about how you feel about things, maybe feeling unsure about some of your future moving forward. This all feels very financial. But again, it's going to be really important to find places to put your energy that make sense for you, that are peaceful, that are joyful, and that help you feel better. And around people that help you feel better, and maybe seeking out more community that is helpful. And then interestingly, the last card is Victory and Success. You really can't make this up. This deck, those two cards are two of the most foreboding cards in this deck. You got them 2 months or, three in two powerful spaces, but then the outcome card is the Victory and Success card, meaning keep your chin up, keep doing good for yourself, keep working on your own peace and your own energy, and the way you're going to come out of this is in a better spot and feeling better. So keep the faith and take good care of yourself. And of course, come back here whenever you need to. Come rub shoulders here every Tuesday. Come be a part of this community. You already are. I'm not like making an invitation because you're already here and you're already a part of us, but this is a good place. But also, there's lots of good places where you can put yourself to be around people that have common goals and that have common energy. This is a really important time for that. So, I don't like the struggle bus. I don't. But I do see you emerging from that in a good spot. So have heart. All righty. Well, you guys, I want to remind you, and you're so welcome, my darling. And yes, this is the best place, isn't it? We have the best people around here. Every once in a while, over on my other podcast at True Crime Squad, we get some trolls that come into the chat room and they'll identify your name and then they just start saying terrible things about you in the chat room, even though, like, they're probably not even really actually watching your show and we just have to ban them and kick them out. You know, I get a troll in this. On in this chat room every once in a while, just trying to poach for readings, which is rude, but it's not like insulting. We don't get that here. We just don't. I'm glad we don't. I don't know why we don't, but I'm glad we don't. But I appreciate you guys being awesome and not being in conflict with each other, because that's the other thing you see in some chat rooms where people are just so shitty with each other, and you guys never do that. And I appreciate that a lot, because the last thing I want to do is to have a ref to have to referee the chat room. I won't do that actually at all, but ugh, let's never do that. Again, I am a professional psychic advisor. You can find me over at 12listen.com. I am there every single day. If you ever go over there and you need me and I'm not available, just click on the schedule a call button or the asking for a callback button, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But in truth, I'm there a lot every day. So if you need some help, if you need some reassurance, you need some energy work, you need some animal communication, some mediumship, I'll do anything I can to help. That's what I'm here for. It is the honor of my life. Thank you all so much for being here. I will be back next week, same place, same time. You've been listening to the Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world.